It was about 5 or 6 years ago, I'm not sure, when I was driving down to Women's Beach Week with two very good friends. We were headed to Emerald Isle, and my husband Craig had reminded me several times of where I was to turn off of I-40. Oh yes, I told him not to worry. I know exactly where to go. Well, the three of us were chit-chatting and laughing our way along, and I must admit, after an hour or two, I was wondering why we hadn't reached our turnoff as yet, but thought it would be coming up shortly. To our very great surprise, we saw a sign on I-40 welcoming us to Wilmington. Wilmington, how in the world? We stopped at a 7-Eleven and asked for directions to Emerald Isle. There was a bit of snickering from the direction giver, but we set off on route either 17 or 19. They had told us it would take about an hour or so to get to Emerald Isle, which deflated us a bit because we were anxious to get to our destination. As we were driving along, one of my friends said, "There's a sign to Swansboro." Yes, we thought, Swansboro is right next to Emerald Isle. So I turned around, and we turned where the sign told us. We were pretty excited and congratulated ourselves for finding this road. We hadn't gone too far when we came upon a very strange sight. There was an MP standing at a guardhouse. The road had narrowed, and we had no choice but to pull up where he was standing. He said, "Welcome to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. May I see your driver's license?" As I handed him my license, I told him that we were headed to Emerald Isle, but had missed a turn or two along the way. He snickered a bit, albeit politely, and told us that we could drive across the base and meet up with Swansboro on the other side. We were again quite jubilant at our luck. We soon discovered that the road would lead us to Swansboro all right, but it also entailed driving across the practice firing range for large tanks. Needless to say, they were not practicing that day. With our spirits again on the rise, my friend in the back seat thought it would be fun to check on what costume she had brought in case anyone would want to put on a skit at the beach. My other friend and I got to giggling when we saw that our backseat friend had put on a pig snout and a tiara. So we merrily rode across Camp Lejeune in gales of laughter. When we got to the other side, at this point, the pig snout and the tiara were safely back in the suitcase. The female MP who greeted us didn't even bother to hide her snicker. And from there, it was smooth sailing to Emerald Isle. To say I have been lost several times over the years would be an understatement. I have just no sense of direction. Many years ago, Craig bought a compass for me. Did I get lost with the compass? Definitely. But at least I knew I was lost heading north or whichever direction the compass was pointing. We threw out the compass. Just recently, we have purchased a GPS global positioning system. Now we're talking. Or rather, the GPS is talking and telling me where to go. It is definitely helping me to find my way. In today's gospel, Jesus is offering his disciples a type of GPS, which I humbly suggest might be called God's providing spirit. He is helping the disciples to find their way. Jesus is trying to reassure his bewildered disciples that they will not be left on their own to fend for themselves after he is gone. He will not leave them orphans. They must have felt very lost and terrified. They couldn't just slip back into their old lives. Things would never be the same. And yet, it wasn't clear to them exactly how things were going to be. It was beyond the power of their imagination. They had left everything behind for this teacher. Now, here in the 6 weeks after Easter, we continue to wrestle with the reality of the resurrection. How is Jesus Christ still alive in the midst of our community of faith? How do we feel his presence living and breathing in our church? How does the God's providing spirit guide the life in this congregation? Jesus was trying to point the way to us during his farewell address to his disciples when he told them about love and obedience. These were not just pretty words. Jesus backs up his claims with a promise to send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to be with these disciples and with all of us today. The word Paraclete has been defined as someone called alongside to help or assist. And this helper is our advocate, counselor, intercessor, comforter, strengthener, all-around helper. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples is, I am setting you a hard task, and I am sending you out on a very difficult assignment. But I am going to send you someone who will guide you as to what to do and enable you to do it. Jesus went on to say that the world cannot recognize the Spirit. By the world, I think he means that section of men who live as if there was no God. In other words, we can only see what we are fitted to see. For example, an astronomer will see far more in the sky than an ordinary man. What we see and experience depends on what we bring to the sight and the experience. Yes, this Paraclete is our GPS, this Spirit who strengthens us, comforts us, guides us, and inspires us. It is the Spirit who enables us to interpret the signs of the times in ways very different from the ways of the world. It is the Spirit who works through us for the transformation of the world. It is because the Spirit has already been given to us that in the midst of our journey, we are able to live the promises into fulfillment. So we are not left alone. We are not orphans. We are Easter people. According to Richard Burridge, a church full of Easter people will be a place where grieving or searching souls can be comforted, encouraged, and strengthened. A community where the risen and ascended Christ and his heavenly Father are made known through our life together in the Spirit, and from which we are sent out with good news for all the world. According to Diane Burgeon, the love that comes to us through the Spirit will overflow into the lives of others. We will be the agent of God's love in the world. Our lives will be the evidence of the Spirit in our midst. And in the spirit of God's love, I'd like to close on a different note and switch our focus to tomorrow. Tomorrow, our nation pauses to remember those who have given their lives in service to their country. And in honor of that, I'd like to read a short Memorial Day sonnet by Pastor John Stewart. If liberty means anything to me, I will remember what my freedom cost. By those who gave their all to keep me free, whose lives were sacrificed but never lost. I will remind myself of what they did and keep them dearly cherished in my heart. Their honor never from me shall be hid, and I will know they always did their part. To save our nation and its people here, to pledge their lives in defense of our ways, to show that freedom always outlives fear, and sacrifice is hallowed all our days. If liberty means anything to me, I will remember those who kept me free. Amen.